Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What in the absolute Bayou BS is going on at LSU right now? Welcome into Wire to Wire. He's Cole Bryson, operating at 100%. I'm Diesel, operating, as you could tell, somewhere around 85. But usually I only hit about 90, so 85 is not bad.
And this
comparison
is for all those people that said, oh, he's not really sick.
Oh, well.
Shove it to you. Told
here's
you.
The thing. Here's
told
the
you.
Thing. I knew I should have picked up the phone and apologized to Dewey.
Dewey, yeah, he was the one.
And say that, man, I'm sorry that I had to take the day off. I'm sorry that I had to disappoint you. But it has not been a fun last couple of days for me. Just like it has not been a fun last couple of days for old Brian Kelly and for Governor Jeff Landry of the state of Louisiana and everybody involved with trying to figure out this absolute clown show that is happening in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Welcome into the show, you Tolos watching on the stream. Man, 35 of you, 40 of you already jumped on the stream. That's awesome to see. Jump in the comments section and chat with one another and us as well. But Cole, LSU is making, I'm sorry, I'm going to be doing this a lot throughout the show.
It's all good.
LSU is doing significant and irreparable damage to its image, to its football program, to its ability to hire a next elite-level head coach by what they're doing, trying to weasel their way out of Brian Kelly's $54 million buyout. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk about it already this week, because it sort of broke over the weekend that this was going down, and obviously yesterday being a holiday, so I don't know if you got a chance to talk about it on Monday.
I just mentioned it in the Daily Wires, and that was it.
But oh my God, how can you be this stupid? Number one, to make a whole string of stupid decisions, and then to cap it off with the worst one possible while you're trying to hire Brian Kelly's replacement. If you already had Lane Kiffin in place, if you already had Kurt Cignetti in place, Eli Drinkwitz, whoever it is, fine. Go back on your word. Try to take money out of Brian Kelly's pocket. That's fine. It's still a bad look, but you've got your coach in place. The contract is there. The ink is signed, and he is on campus recruiting and coaching at LSU. But how could you be so stupid as to try to go back on the deal and say, oh, we didn't actually fire Brian Kelly, because the guy that fired him, we also fired, and he had no authority to fire the guy.
Yeah.
So, good Lord.
It's a tough place to be in. It's a sticky situation, Diesel, because to your point there, Kelly, what LSU is arguing and what I'm trying to read, they're arguing that Kelly wasn't formally terminated, right?
Oh, God.
So Brian Kelly was not formally terminated by LSU, according to Kelly's complaint, right? LSU's taken the position that, hey, you just mentioned if he were fired, well, guess what? He wasn't fired, right? The termination wasn't valid. They believe they have grounds to terminate for cause, which would relieve them, Diesel, of paying the full buyout, which I get. If I can find a way out of not paying the full buyout, you better believe I'm going to try to find a, what do they call it?
Loophole.
Loophole. There you go. I'm going to try to find a loophole. Thank you.
So, I mean, I'm not surprised that Louisiana and those folks down there are trying to figure out a way to weasel out of the money here. But, Cole, there's something called good faith negotiation.
Yeah.
And nobody will want to do business with a party that does not negotiate and act in good faith. And this is, without a doubt, a bad faith way to try to wiggle out of that money. So, again, this is coming from Brian Kelly's legal team. They filed a lawsuit in Louisiana seeking a declaratory judgment that he was terminated without cause under his coaching contract. And again, LSU is claiming that he was not formally terminated, sure, and that he was not fired for cause, and that if we can figure out a way to find some sort of evidence, if we can manufacture some evidence, if we can kangaroo court our way into some evidence that Brian Kelly was doing some shady stuff down at LSU, well, then we can walk scot-free. We can get out of paying that $54 million. And this, Cole, is how you go from the tippy top of the list of coaching options and school and programs that need head coaches to the very bottom. Because who would want to do business? Who would want to sign up to deal with this? I can't say the word on the radio that I want to say.
Yeah,
unfortunately, clown show.
Unfortunately, it's a tough spot. The reality of it is, Diesel, and I understand, as I've said multiple times, I always try to do what? Always try to see both sides. However, I think I'm siding with LSU here. Here's why. The four cause that you brought up, Diesel, that is any kind of violation. When you talk about termination for cause, it allows termination for major violations, NCAA rule violations, felony convictions involving certain misconduct, serious ongoing disrespect or misconduct that violates LSU's mission, etc. So LSU trying to negotiate a lower lump sum settlement instead of paying the full buyout, which you said is what, $54 million? Is that right?
Yep.
From a business standpoint, the reason I'm going to side with LSU here is, Diesel, guess what? I've got to do everything I can. If I can save $25 or $30 million and find a loophole, it would be stupid not to. So from LSU's standpoint, I don't blame them. Does that mean that I think it's right what they're doing? Absolutely not. But you have to figure out how you can get out of $25 or $1 million if that's an option.
Whatever happened to you stand on business? Whatever happened to you make a decision,
buyout,
you sign a contract, you stick to the contract, and you do what was agreed upon? LSU made a terrible decision to hire a guy that doesn't fit at LSU. We're just going to go down the laundry list. Check, hired a guy that doesn't fit at LSU. Check, paid him a gigantic contract. Check, signed up for an absolutely massive, gargantuan buyout. Check, decided to fire him when they were 5-3, by the way.
Yeah.
Decided to fire a guy that was winning over 70% of his games. He was in the top five win percentage of all LSU coaches all time. And you just had this knee-jerk reaction. We got to get him out of here. We don't like him. He's not one of us. Send his ass back up north. Like, you made all of these decisions. You got some sort of verbal agreement, I guess. A good old boy handshake behind the scenes. Hey, I think we can raise that $54 million. And then all of a sudden, you don't have that $54 million, and you're trying to wiggle your way out of it. I have heard nothing to this point, nothing about Brian Kelly engaging in anything that would be a for-cause termination. Nothing. You may not like the guy. That's fine. But not liking the guy, disliking an individual because of their personality, is not a for-cause termination.
And well, LSU, I don't know that that's what they fired him for.
Well, they fired him because he wasn't winning enough.
Right.
Now, if you want to say, and this, I'm being facetious here, if you want to say that our mission at LSU is to win national championships and he wasn't doing what he needed to do to complete that mission, that's fine. But come on, man. If you're saying we're firing you for cause and not paying you what we agreed upon to pay you if we terminated you because you never won a national championship, man, this is the biggest black eye you could possibly put on yourself.
Well, the reality of it is, Diesel, it all goes back to what JB said on the YouTube stream. And while I want to be very clear, while I do side with LSU wanting to try to get out of $25 or $30 million, I don't think it's right. I don't think it looks good. I don't think it's pretty. I think it's messy. And it all goes back to JB on the YouTube stream, and I think he hit the nail on the head here. He said when you get the governor of your state involved in your state's biggest college football program, you're asking for trouble. Now, I want to be very clear on that comment as well, JB, because you're right to an extent of when you get the governor of your state involved in your state's biggest college football program. However, if you look across the board, and I don't know every situation in every state, but most college football coaches that are state employees have direct ties and direct correlations in Diesel with the government of the state. They are government. They literally work for the state. Yeah. If you are a public program, right? So number one, I think there are more programs that are tied in bed with the state's government. But to your point, JB, it's not nearly as messy because, mm-hmm. you know, the governor of South Carolina or North Carolina or Georgia or Florida is not saying, hey, we want to make the decision when it comes to who Florida's football coach is or South Carolina. Shane Beamer's not doing it good enough. It doesn't have a good look.
Would you trust Henry McMaster to hire the new head coach at South Carolina?
No.
No, because he's not a football guy.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the governor's politics, with his policies. He's not a football guy. I would not trust Jeff Landry enough to write it on a piece of paper and stick a name in a hat. That's how little I would trust Jeff Landry to hire a head football coach at LSU. Now LSU has attempted to negotiate a settlement with Brian Kelly. They offered him $25 million. Hey, BK, would you be a guy, would you be a pal and take 25 instead of 54? And he said, nope, it's in the contract. You owe me 54. And then they said, hey, 25. All right, you fine, man. You got it. It's a little light. What if we bumped it to 30? Could we make a deal at 30? And BK said, kick rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they are in this. So that's why LSU is trying to weasel their way out of this. Again, I have seen nothing when it comes to recruiting violations, when it comes to mistreatment of players, when it comes to, you know, blatant disrespect of university management, none of that has happened. So LSU is trying to manufacture. They probably got half the PIs in the state of Louisiana digging through Brian Kelly's trash, trying to find
something,
anything that they can pin this thing on. And this is an awful look. I would have put LSU as probably the number one job available in college football right now. When you stack it up
with all this going on,
when you would stack it up against Florida, when you stack it up against Penn State,
no, I'm with you there. Yeah.
When you stack it up against the other jobs that are available, LSU was probably the sexiest girl that you could have taken to that dance who didn't have a date. Now they are at the bottom of that list, and here's what I hope happens out of this. I hope Brian Kelly gets petty. I want Brian Kelly. Oh, I can't believe LSU is doing this to me. I can't believe that they are making me advocate for Brian Kelly and get in his camp.
Yeah.
But if they somehow find a way to fire him for cause, and it's some like really slim technicality, Brian Kelly needs to sue the state of Louisiana for every single dollar they have. Every single dollar, because that's slander. That's libel. You get fired for cause, no one's going to hire you. And I don't know if Brian Kelly's going to get back into coaching after this. He could, but I don't know if he'll be a head coach at a Division I Power 4 conference team again. But if he gets fired for cause, that goes on his permanent record. And that is the definition of slander.
Yeah, and I guess a big part of it for me is it's kind of like playing a lawyer here. You have to play, if you're hired by LSU, you have to play their side. If you're hired by Brian Kelly, you have to play their side.
You've been watching the Murdoch documentary.
I have. I finished it already. Well, no, episode 7 came out today.
Legal Maneuver.
It's not a documentary, by the way.
Oh, it's right. It's a drama series.
Drama series.
I watched episode 1 last night. Pretty good.
It's good.
Pretty good
start. It really is. It's entertaining. So what my point being here, look. You're siding with Brian Kelly. That's fine. I would, if I'm in Brian Kelly's camp, Diesel, I would also advise him to do the same things that you're talking about. But on the on the flip side, the reality of it is with LSU. Look, LSU's got to figure out a way to find that loophole that I was talking about with $25 or $30 million. It doesn't mean that LSU's in the right. I think LSU's the one here with egg on their face. I don't think Brian Kelly looks bad. Will Brian Kelly be hired, Diesel, at another Power 4 institution anytime soon? Maybe not, but I can tell you, when you look right now on the 12th day of November, it's not Brian Kelly that looks bad. It's LSU that looks bad. Now,
so bad.
With that being said, the cause for clause, if you will, it does exist for LSU. So when you talked about for cause, you're talking about the conduct, the violations, the acts of dishonesty, whatever, right? The neglect. I don't know that they'll be able to identify anything that actually is here's the reality of it. They're probably not going to be able to identify anything that's criminal or misconduct. But what does the contract – how is the contract set up, Diesel? Do they have to find something? When you talk about digging through the trash cans with their gloves on, Do they have to find something that's legally justified that has some sort of relation to criminal misconduct or internal violations? Where is the legal justification? Where does that land?
So you mentioned this earlier. This, just bringing it back up for the Tolos. The contract allows for termination for cause if Brian Kelly engaged in major NCAA violations. To this point, no evidence of anything like that. Criminal behavior related to gambling, drugs, or alcohol. So far, there is no indication that any of that occurred.
Sure.
Or serious misconduct that undermines LSU's mission. And that's probably where they're going to go with this. Serious misconduct that undermines LSU's mission. Because that is such a vague...
Say that again, though.
Serious misconduct that undermines LSU's mission. Yeah. So what does that mean? That seems like a very umbrella term that's kind of that catch-all at the end of things that, that's never going to come up. I mean, serious misconduct that undermines LSU's mission. Like, nobody even knows what that means. Mm. Until you need to use it, if you're LSU's lawyers, then you can say, Brian Kelly left the door propped open one night, and that could have allowed anybody to walk into our building and steal trade secrets. That undermines LSU's mission. They'll find something like that.
I just don't know. When you talk about the mission, I don't know what they'll find. And look, I think LSU should do its due diligence and try to find something. Like I said, I've been siding with them this whole time. But could Kelly's performance and leadership issues qualify as cause? I mean, I guess so. The reality of it is it written in ink? Is it written in pencil? How do you identify cause, Diesel? Because cause isn't always committing a crime, right? It can also mean failing to fulfill the duties that you were hired to do. So if that's their position, LSU's position is that, hey, they were 5-3, embarrassing losses, the locker room turmoil, right? You can try to dig up some turmoil from the locker room. And if they can demonstrate, like if LSU can demonstrate loss of institutional confidence, culture problems, toxic program atmosphere, I think those things, Diesel, can support a for-cause arguments based on the university's missions and values that you would imagine have to be pretty wide. Because,
I've got it right here.
Okay.
I've got it right here, LSU's mission statement.
Well, let me preface by saying, before you read the mission statement and values, if you can demonstrate loss of institutional confidence or culture problems based on that mission statement that you're about to read, that mission statement that you're about to be about to read, Diesel, better be very, very vague.
Yeah.
It better be vague.
This is directly from LSU's website. You can look it up. lsu.edu/about/mission.
Yeah.
Designated as a land, sea, and space grant institution, LSU secures, elevates, and advances Louisiana and the world through the generation, preservation, dissemination, and application of knowledge and cultivation of the arts, and develop students who are prepared, confident, and inspired to achieve lifelong success.
So it's vague.
It's very
vague.
It's vague. It's a university mission statement. They're all vague, right?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, though. How do you, and maybe a good lawyer can do it, how do you take those pieces, right? What do they call it in court? The supporting facts.
Evidence.
The supporting evidence. If you can take the facts and the evidence and say, well, Brian Kelly, he gave us, you know, a drop in confidence in our institutional confidence. He neglected the culture, the confidence in the culture that we've built here. He created toxic program atmospheres. Like if you can tie the two together, then I guess you have a strong argument, maybe.
Oh, that's the flimsiest argument I've ever
heard.
But
what else do you have, though?
Nothing. You got nothing, LSU.
So but what I'm saying is,
you look stupid even trying.
Right. Well, they're going to look stupid regardless. If they win or lose, they're going to look stupid. That's my point. But they have to do diligence and at least try to find something. Because from a business standpoint, if you tell me, hey, Cole, you can go to court and try to fight this, and if you win it, you don't have to pay $25 to $30 million, or worst case is you have to pay him his full buyout of $54 million. You better believe I'm going to hire the best attorney possible to go and try. As crazy as it sounds, I'm going to have somebody trying to fabricate something so that I don't have to pay $25 to $30 million.
The question is, who's going to be the bag man? Is it going to be, or the hatchet man? Is it going to be Whit Weeks? Is it going to be Garrett Nussmeier? Is one of them going to come out and say, Brian Kelly touched me? No. It's going to be a load of crap when it comes out, and we all know it.
Probably.
A bad. See, you said worst case, they got to pay out the 54. No, worst case, they pay out the 54. They pay a lawyer a couple of million dollars, lose the case, and then Brian Kelly sues them for even more money that they have to pay. That's the worst case scenario.
Ugh, that'd be messy. But again, it's all, to JB's point, it's already messy. It really is.
Sheesh.
Tolos, we are going behind enemy lines a day or two early this week. We're talking to Paul Rogers in the very next segment, play-by-play voice of the Louisville Cardinals. Paul will join us to talk Clemson, Louisville next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to talk a little Louisville Clemson. As we go behind enemy lines, we do every single week with Clemson and South Carolina. This time, we're going behind enemy lines with Paul Rogers. He's the play-by-play voice of the Louisville Cardinals. Paul, how the heck are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, and congratulations for the proper pronunciation of Louisville.
Ah, yes. I'm glad I scored one.
I thought it was Louisville.
is that what it normally is in the incorrect way?
Most people know it's not Louisville, but you get a lot of Louisville, which technically it is. But when you're native, it's too much trouble to say Louisville, so it's Louisville.
Louisville. I guess it's my southern drawl there that did me. Hey, look, finally my thick southern accent works for something. Glad to start off on a good note, Paul. Appreciate you hopping on with us, man. A whirlwind, a roller coaster of a season for the Clemson Tigers. You get to see them in person for the first time Friday night. Is there any in your mind, like, this is the number one story talked about going into the season? Oh, this is a Friday night game. It could be weird for Clemson, a trip-up game. Well, come to find out, a lot of games were trip-up games for Clemson in 2025. Any significance of playing on a Friday being tougher than normal in your mind?
Well, I think it's tougher for the opponent, to be honest with you. Louisville just seems to thrive on these Friday night games. The crowd is in the early weekend mode. They tend to get a little juiced up, if you'll pardon the expression, and it's a really lively, fun-loving crowd on Friday night games here. So I don't think the short turnaround is any big deal. This is the third Friday night game Louisville has played. I think, has Clemson played one this year yet? I'm not sure, but
not yet.
I think the Friday night home games for Louisville works to their advantage, but it's certainly nothing that Clemson can't overcome. I mean, they've, in their time, in their illustrious history, they've overcome many loud visiting crowds. But it'll be a lively, fun atmosphere on Friday night for sure.
Paul, it seems like Louisville at this point would want to request Friday night games. Is there any thought in your mind from the higher ups saying, hey, put these things on us because, number one, it gets you a better chance to be one of the two or three games on television. And, of course, it adds that extra little bit of atmosphere.
Yeah, I don't think Louisville has ever requested them. I think they've been willing to accept those games. And, you know, it's funny that you often hear that about the Thursday night game or the Friday night game. Everyone is watching, and because there are very few options, obviously, compared to a crowded Saturday. But the other side of that to me is sometimes after you play and then you have this mass of games on Saturday, all of a sudden they've forgotten all about you. So I don't know which one is better for the other. The fact is, play and play well when you can. And Louisville has done that most of the time this year. Two losses, oddly, at home and both in overtime in very, very similar fashion the way they lost the two games.
Paul, when you look at the year that Miller Moss is having, a guy who has seen multiple stops in college football, you've called every snap of this stop for him in Louisville, what do you think stands out about his game? Because, you know, unfortunately, we talked, it seems like as a nation, we talked a lot about Miller Moss when he was in Southern Cal. Now that he's gone to Louisville, you don't see him talked about from the national standpoint quite as much in my mind. In your mind, though, what makes him special?
Well, unfortunately, my answer to that would be his inconsistency. Miller has been very good most of the time, but he almost every game just makes a very hurtful decision, and that's why he's thrown seven interceptions this year, and three of them, in fact, have been run back for touchdowns. Wow. He throws a great ball. It's a vastly different system from what he played at Southern Cal. He never took a snap under center, I don't think, under Southern Cal, and they went – purely with visual signals and a clap. He's had to learn how to get under center at times. He's learned how to call the play audibly, and their plays sound like a word salad. I mean, they make no sense to me if you've ever heard football plays called. And then he's had to learn to audible, and there's just been a lot mentally that I don't think he's totally gotten comfortable with. Physically, he has the tools, has a very lively arm, but he has had a hard time sometimes under pressure making the right throw or the right decision. But overall, I mean, 64%, 2,100 yards, 11 touchdowns. Oddly, he leads the team in rushing touchdowns. He's the least running quarterback Louisville's ever had, but he's had a couple of quarterback sneaks for touchdowns, a couple of scrambles for touchdowns, and that's kind of an unusual stat. He's not really normally a runner, but he's mobile enough when he has to be.
Well, he's definitely one of the most intelligent people that we have ever had a chance on this show to talk to, including yourself there, Paul. We talked to Miller at ACC kickoff, and man, he's one of those guys that just blows you away with just how intelligent he is. Let's talk about what Louisville likes to do pre-snap that might kind of give these Clemson linebackers and DBs some confusion, because obviously, you know, Clemson is loaded with talent and they say half of these guys are going to go in the first round, but defense has not been the strong suit for Clemson this year. What does Louisville like to do that might give that struggling Clemson defense some fits?
Well, they'll motion some, but I don't think extraordinarily so. Just about everybody does that these days. What Lowell has shown the ability to do, not necessarily in the same game, is have a run-pass balance. Now, they don't run and pass for the same amount of yardage every game, but there have been games where they've run the ball very effectively with either Isaac Brown, who's still out with an injury, or Kewan Brown, who's played very well in his absence. And then there have been games where they have not run it well, and they've thrown it all over the place. So it's just the fact that Louisville's offense has shown the ability to do what they need to do. If the opponent is trying to stop something, Louisville has generally had the answer for it. Now, the offense really hasn't been quite as explosive as a Brohm offense usually is. They've been in the 20s more than usual this year. They're still averaging 33, but you know, some of that gets padded with some easy walkover wins early in the year. But I don't know that they throw anything at you that's that unusual for other teams, but they just have ability to do what needs to be done, and they got two really good receivers, too.
We're talking to Paul Rogers. He's the play-by-play voice of the Louisville Cardinals. Paul, when you look at Clemson last week, I mean, we can look at the entire sample size from 2025, but the most recent sample size, the Clemson defense that was able to get six sacks on Tommy Castellanos, I'm sure that's an area of concern, because Diesel just mentioned, you know, the guys up front who are projected to go, the Woods and the Parkers, projected to go early in the NFL draft. In your mind, would that be the number one area of concern, is figuring out how to not allow this Clemson defense to have their way again on the line of scrimmage like they did on Saturday?
Very much so. Louisville has not allowed an extraordinary number of sacks, 18. But Moss does struggle under pressure. You don't necessarily have to sack him. If you can just get him uncomfortable and get him to rush a little bit, that's where he is most likely to make that bad decision or bad throw. So that's very much the issue, I think, is protecting him and giving him time to throw. When he's given time, he's really good, very accurate, throws a great ball, very catchable ball. His receivers are capable and athletic. They can make those catches. So that'll be very important. I was impressed with the fact that actually since about the 1st of October, I know Clemson's been pretty good offensively, but they haven't been very Clemson-like defensively until, as you just mentioned last week, they looked pretty solid in that Florida State win.
Paul, I'm going to give you a little scenario, okay? Here, it's game day, 10 minutes before kickoff, and Jeff Brohm and Brent Key are at the 50-yard line trying to have a don't smile contest. Who's going to crack first? Because we've had the opportunity to interview both of those guys and sit in front of both of those guys again at ACC kickoffs. Both very intense fellows. Who would be the most likely to crack first?
Ah, that's a good one. It's a little tricky for me to answer because I've known Jeff Brohm essentially all his life. He grew up here in town. His family is a Louisville iconic family. And I probably have as good a relationship with Jeff as I've ever had with a football coach just because I go back so far with him. So while I know he's stern, I know he's demanding, I also know a softer side of Jeff, and I do see him smile from time to time. In fact, I just came from his office to record the pregame interview, and we were talking about a number of things. So I don't know Brent Key as well. So I'm going to sort of plead ignorance on that, but if I had to bet, I'll say Jeff will give it first.
Paul, when you look at the ACC that you mentioned, it's a hot mess with teams in conference play at 5-1, 5-1, 5-1, 5-1. That's SMU, Pitt, Virginia, and Georgia Tech. Louisville and Duke in an interesting spot with Duke at 4-1, but four total losses on the season, three out of conference. Louisville, two losses, but the bad part about those two compared to a team like Duke, both of those two losses are in conference. When you've looked at the metrics and what is this hot mess of, I'm calling it the ACC, what are your actual thoughts on where Louisville can somehow find a path to winning the conference?
That's a tricky one. And as you just mentioned, it's so tough to sort out. And that's why Louisville was such an agonizing defeat the other night. But, all the other one-loss teams can say the same thing, or two-loss teams, whatever it might be. I think the two losses is going to make it not mathematically impossible, but virtually impossible to make the championship game. And with the ACC's reputation faltering a little bit, I'm not sure you're going to get – if you take the two teams in the title game, the winner and the loser, I'm really not sure a third team is going to make it. Mm. Then again, I've never been a proponent for – making it to the championship game and losing it and having that cost you a spot. So if that is the case, if the loser of the championship game doesn't get selected, then I think Louisville could have a fighting chance, assuming obviously they win out, which is no given. But if they do win out, they would have this win over Clemson. They would have what would be a very good road win at SMU. And then their last game, sort of like Clemson and South Carolina play, Louisville and Kentucky play every year. And as bad as Kentucky has been most of the year, they suddenly come around and are playing some pretty good ball. So if Louisville should win out, I think there's a scenario where maybe they could squeeze into the playoff picture, but it's going to be tough.
Paul, I'm sure this story is on a lot of people's radars where you are, but here it's kind of flown under. Tell us about this case of the 38-year-old man from Texas who just pled not guilty to making threats against Jeff Brohm and his family.
I just found out about it actually on whatever night it was. My week is so messed up. We had a basketball game last night. We're playing football on Friday. I never know what day it is anymore this time of year. But I was on my way actually to do his radio show a couple of nights ago when this story broke. And I was just floored by it. I mean, I just don't know how people can get that carried away. I love college football. I know a lot of people love college football, but you draw the line somewhere. Come on, people. It is a sport. It's people's livelihood. Apparently, and I'm just kind of guessing, putting pieces together, this fellow must have been a gambler and lost some money. He was upset about it. And I don't know how you get to that point. I think it's unfortunate. I hope if he is found guilty, which I know he's pled not guilty, but if he is guilty, I hope they find some serious punishment. And I mean, I'd like to see him take his phone and computer away so he can never text, email, bet online, whatever. It's just it's so far beyond what reasonable people should even think about doing. I hated hearing about it, just to put it that way, and it certainly caught all of us off guard.
Paul, going back to Clemson's defensive front, a lot of coaches will try to line up and just run right at them, right, in terms of offsetting what they do. Do you feel like the two Brown running backs, talking about Isaac and Kiwan, not the color Brown, but the two running backs who have totaled over 1,000 yards and 11 total touchdowns, maybe that could be a game plan to keep LSU's offense on the field and take a little pressure off of Miller Moss that you talked about sometimes does turn the ball over too much?
It could be. The offensive line has played pretty well overall, especially the last few games. Now, unfortunately, they're still going to be without Isaac Brown in this game, but Kewan Brown is very capable. His last three games, he's averaging over 100 yards a game since he's been filling in for Isaac. And Duke Watson, who's been injured as well last year, was once they started playing on even terms, once Watson and Brown both started playing the last part of last year, Duke was putting up numbers similar to Isaac, but he's been hammered by injury too. So anyway, Kewan's going to be the main running back, Duke probably the next guy, and if they can hold their own up front and open up a few little gaps for the running backs, that helps Miller-Moss in the passing game tremendously, obviously.
Is there a drop-off from Isaac to Kewan in your mind?
Not really. Well, one thing, Isaac is just lightning fast. I've seen very few running backs with his just all-out speed. I've seen many defensive backs think they have the angle on him, and all of a sudden they don't.
Gotcha.
He has blinding speed. I don't think Kewan is quite that fast, but he's not slow, and he's maybe even a little bit more rugged than Isaac is. So you don't lose too much with him. He's been kind of the number three guy over the years, and his running backs coach actually, a guy named Chris Barkley, calls him his security blanket. He loves having Isaac. He's a running back that I think could start at many places, but he's stuck it out here for 3 years, and he's getting his opportunity now, Kewan, that is.
Paul, talk to us about Ron English and Mark Hagan's philosophy and maybe desire to be aggressive to stop the Clemson run, because it's weird to say that Clemson doesn't have a running back that's averaging more than 5 yards a carry. Their best running back is a converted wide receiver. Second best running back is Young, and he might be a problem for Louisville in years to come, but we're not there yet. How aggressive are they going to be to try to load that box and stop the run against Adam Randall and Gideon Davidson?
I would think that would be a pretty high priority. Obviously, Cade Klubnik can be dangerous, and he has especially been here lately, the last few games. But I always think Louisville's first goal is to slow the running game. You can do so much when you've got the other team in a position where they have to throw. That's what happened in Miami. They jumped on Miami with two early touchdowns, and Miami just never really could get in the groove. And that's kind of what Louisville did, in fact, last year in the game at Clemson, too. So if Louisville can get a quick score or two, and the defense can limit the running game and keep Clemson at bay, I think that really works. So that's what the Cardinals like to see happen.
Paul, how do you see this one playing out, man?
Oh, golly, I should know better than the forecast. I mean, I do feel good. A couple of things. Obviously, Louisville being at home, being a Friday night. Louisville, and frankly, if you go back Jeff Brohm over the years, his teams have shown a great knack of bouncing back from really hurtful losses. They'll lose a game and you just think, oh my gosh, that's just such a killer, and they'll come back. Last year, late in the season, they lost kind of an unexplainable game at Stanford, which probably cost them a shot at the championship, and they came back after that and just played lights out. So I kind of feel like that's going to be the response. I think that combined with maybe Miller finally honing in and cutting down on some bad decision making, which I know they really emphasized this week, and the combination of the Friday night home crowd, I would have to go with the Cards. These two have played some, as you look through the years, these teams have played a lot of close games. And Louisville never won until last year, but there were a lot of really close games. So I'll have to pick the Cards. I think it'll be in the low 30s, 31-28, something like that.
Paul, last question for you from me. I'm sure Jeff Brohm's name has come up a lot of times for job opportunities in this carousel. Some coaches scoff at it, some kind of dance around it. I think Jeff Brohm is absolutely perfect for Louisville, and I wouldn't want to see him go anywhere. But how has he responded to those questions, or do the reporters there in Louisville know not to ask him?
He's been asked, but he deflects it. But with you, I think he has no desire to go anywhere. He may someday, but right now he is back home. He left Purdue to come here. His family's still heavily involved. His brothers are involved. His son's involved. His father's involved. The Brohms are Louisville, and it would take an awful lot to get him to leave here. If it came down to a money issue, he would say, put the money into NIL so I could get the best players. I've got enough. That's just the way Jeff operates. So I would be shocked if he is seriously entertains any offer. But, I mean, don't take it the wrong way. He wants to be paid market value, and I think he'll get market value here. But I don't see him leaving for a $10 million job at Penn State or at LSU or whatever opens up. I think Jeff's pretty solid here. And frankly, I think people think that so much, not to undersell him, but it really hasn't been a big issue here. I think most people – think that he thinks that way, and there hasn't been a lot of concern about, oh my gosh, are we going to lose another coach? Because every coach that has left here regretted it. And I think Jeff knows that.
Paul, great stuff, man. As always, very much appreciate your time. Have a great call on Friday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Paul Rogers, play-by-play voice. Really good stuff there. Yeah. When it comes to in-depth diesel with Louisville and Clemson just 2 days away.
Man, how nice must that be to have a winning coach and to know that he's probably not going anywhere, to have that kind of stability.
That is a good
feeling to have.
And a good basketball program, too. Like, I mean, Pat's done a good job, and I think that's a fun job up there in Louisville. It really is.
Yeah. When we come back, let's peek over the fence, see what else is going on out there in what we call our Daily Wires.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We've talked LSU football already. We've talked Louisville and Clemson. Now it's time to see what else is going on out there, Cole, in our Daily Wires. The buzz happening around the sports world, as just mentioned before. Brian Kelly's attorneys say that LSU has taken the position that it is not formally terminated Brian Kelly as the Tigers' head football coach. The school is seeking to fire Kelly now for cause and potentially avoid paying the $54 million buyout that he is owed. So I guess he still works there? In a way?
Yeah, and you know what else?
Too late to bring him back?
It doesn't look good. I don't know that it's going to end in a clean way. Either way, we were talking about in the first segment. I think it's going to end messy, however it ends.
Well, Dallas Mavericks GM Nico Harrison has been fired.
Messy.
Yeah. The decision was made after a Tuesday morning meeting between Nico Harrison and team governor Patrick Dumont. He has made a series of wild decisions. So, yeah,
that
he's
go. Is wild to me. I mean, we're not even talking about a year after the Anthony Davis trade with Luka. I mean, that's crazy. I don't know how the owner is not more involved to begin with, but it is what it is.
Jaguars rookie receiver and corner Travis Hunter will miss the remainder of the season after undergoing surgery on his right knee on Tuesday. He had the LCL ligament repaired in Dallas by Dr. Dan Cooper and Dr. Kevin Kaplan, who is the Jaguars' head team physician. There was no additional damage to the knee, and Hunter is expected to return to football activities within 6 months. So that's good.
I hate that, man, for Trevor Lawrence, who is always had a shaky career, a week-to-week career in Jacksonville Diesel, to have a weapon like that go down, done for the year. That's a big blow.
I think it's time for Trevor Lawrence to enter the portal.
Request a trade.
It's never going to get any better in Jacksonville.
No, not in Jacksonville.
Not in Jacksonville. No. I mean, look, we are seeing a renaissance of several big-time players. You get out of your situation, you get coached up by somebody else, and maybe you can become what everybody thought you were supposed to be. A little programming note here for you. Friday night, Burns football will air on our sister station, 98.9 WORD. The Fan Upstate going to be carrying Furman basketball.
Busy Friday night.
Yeah. Clemson men's basketball last night beat Morehead State 83-56. The Tigers are now 3-0. Wofford lost to Auburn last night 93-62. Terriers are 1-3 on the season. The South Carolina Gamecocks are back in action tonight, hosting the hottest football team in the state, PC, at 7 o'clock.
Hottest football team. Maybe they can have their football team play a little basketball, because I don't think that's going to end well, right?
Probably not. The New York Giants are expected to start quarterback Jameis Winston against the Packers on Sunday. The Giants are turning to Jameis over Russell Wilson after Jackson Dart suffered a concussion during Sunday's loss to the Bears. How does that make you feel if you're Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
You're getting passed over for Jameis.
Yeah, it's tough, but it's speaking of hot mess, I mean, that's a hot mess. mess up there right now in New York.
Quarterback got by committee there in New York.
Well, especially with Brian Daboll just getting axed.
Mm-hmm. Philadelphia Eagles corner Jair Alexander has decided to step away from football in order to focus on getting right physically and mentally amid his ongoing recovery from offseason knee surgery. He informed the Eagles of his decision yesterday, a day after their victory over the Packers on Monday Night Football. He did not travel with the team to Green Bay for the game.
Wow.
New York, North Carolina coach Bill Belichick says that he is focused on Wake Forest after questions about potential interest in the vacant New York Giants head coaching job.
Can we please put an end to this? I'm so sick. I want Bill Belichick just to retire.
Yeah.
Just go retire and have fun on the beach. I'm so sick of this.
Hey, Braves fans, you think you got the speed of an Olympian? You think you got the showmanship to flaunt it in front of 45,000 people every night? Well, you could be the next freeze runner for the Atlanta Braves. I don't think either one of us are going to get the job, Cole, but we can apply.
We could apply.
You look great in silver spandex.
Hey, boss, why aren't you coming in? Or, hey, man, why aren't you coming in? Well, boss, we're actually on the way to Atlanta to audition for Freeze's job. Thought you had to be fast for that, right?
Yeah, well, you just need to look fast. That's
the
thing.
That's right.
Two more for you. The family of late Dallas Cowboys defensive end Marshawn Nealon has raised suspicion about law enforcement in regarding his death. Marshawn's cousin expressed doubts about the circumstances surrounding his death, suggesting foul play. Marshawn died following a police chase and was found dead from an apparent suicide. And last one here for you. Former NFL star wide receiver Antonio Brown has been released on $25,000 bail and must wear a GPS ankle monitor on an attempted murder charge in Florida. Brown, who's 37, pled not guilty to the charge, which carries a potential 15-year prison sentence and a fine of up to $10,000 if convicted.
Only Antonio Brown, right?
Why would they even let him out at this point?
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. Tolos, I'll tell you what, it is back. The Upset Picks Challenge opens in 5 minutes from right now. We are calling for 45 entries in the very first segment. I'm feeling good this week. Diesel, don't ask me how my team did last week, and I know you weren't here on Monday to brag, but it wasn't good, by the way.
I was that close. Iowa over Oregon.
I was that close. My team only lost by 34. So we're going to try this thing again, Tolos. Let's get ready. Find the game. We need your name, game spread. The Upset Picks Challenge opens next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.